Good evening. I'm so excited because I got a message from God. It's amazing. I was thinking about year 2016, and it was an awesome year for me, personally speaking. I think it is one of the hallmark year that I ever had. Around the mid of 2016, I think God really taught me to take faith steps somewhere in June, July, August. And He rewarded me. In my natural, I would never have done it. So that is the personal testimony. I was thinking about year 2016 and 17 in the light of like a portion from God. And God gave me a portion in Matthew chapter 14. So let's, I want to share that portion this evening and bless the body of Christ. I'm really thankful for the body here. I think without the body, I would never, personally, my family would never have made it. Especially thankful to Pastor Brian and his family and the faithful preaching and teaching, the investment day in and day out. Before we go there, Matthew 14 is, I would like to see that chapter as the seeking that is answered. Matthew chapter 14, but I would like to go to Matthew chapter 6. What is seeking all about? This is one verse that we all know, chapter 6, verse 33. Sunday school children, by heart it. This is the verse that we learn early on in our Christian faith. And this is the verse that we many times fail in our application. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. What is that verse? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And it says all these things will be added to you. But the verse doesn't begin with seek, right? The verse begins with B-U-T, but. And this is a three-letter word. Brings in a lot of meaning in the Bible. Jesus is saying, but in verse 32, if you notice, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, right? Their life is summed up in that seeking. You know, what do they seek? They seek food, shelter, and clothing. That's it. Eagerly seek. The word eagerly seek meaning an unusual craving for these things. A craving that will never satisfy them. Some totality of the unbeliever's life is that, Jesus Christ is saying. What a redemption that we have, right? We are really great people. Say we are great people. I am great, say. This is one thought that can personally edify us. We are not in bondage of the unbeliever. Some of our friends and unbelieving family members, you can easily see that if only they can get saved, they would not be bound by this life. And I think Abigail said to David, right, in the Old Testament, your life is bundled up with the life of living God. Don't lower your standard. Our life is like that. We fail, we fall, and we go through all kinds of things. Especially the core disciples of this body is totally delivered from this bondage that Jesus Christ is talking about in Matthew 6:32. We are not seeking. We do make a living, but we are not living for that. We are not seeking with an unusual craving which will never satisfy. And then Jesus is introducing with this disjunctive coordinating conjunction, but. It is bringing in a proposal of a different thought compared to the verse 32, and at the same time it is contrary to that. But ye seek, and he's saying, you seek, and Jesus Christ is saying. And I was thinking about seeking, the word seeking, and three points that I would like to bring in here. In verse 32, people seek for wrong things, which will never satisfy them. That is point one. Point two is, we could be seeking for the things but not with a priority. What Jesus Christ is saying, seek second the kingdom of God. No, seek first. That is the second point. One is seeking for wrong things, and Christ clearly says that no, it is an unusual craving which will never serve. You are not made up for that. You are not made for that. The second one is seeking not the things in priority, which one to be first. That is the second one, second major problem in our lives. We seek the things that are first, which are not supposed to be first. In John chapter 1, verse 38, Jesus Christ asked Andrew and his friend, "And what do you seek?" He did not ask, "Whom do you seek?" Right? Did you notice that when John the Baptist introduced Christ, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," and Andrew and his disciple were following Christ, and suddenly Christ turns and asks, "What do you seek?" I think Andrew was not ready for the answer, probably. And where do you live? And they asked him, "We were looking for your house, and we didn't know your house." And Christ never asked, "Why were you looking for me?" No, he didn't say that. He asked, "What do you seek?" And he did not ask, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "We were looking for your house. We want to know, where do you stay? Probably we want to build the same house, you know, and then we will become spiritual." No, Christ said, "Come." And towards the end of the day, and he goes to Peter, Andrew goes to Peter, and he never said, "We have found the house of Rabbi." He never said, "We have found the rabbi." In fact, he asked, "Rabbi, where do you live?" Right? He says, "We have sought after the very thing that we were looking for, that is the Messiah, the person of God himself." At times we might seek for healing, but healing is not first. The healer is first. The healing is in the healer. And if only we can know that point, and I think we have sought the kingdom of God first. We could be looking out for a solution to a problem, and the solution is not primary. The one who provides the solution is the first. And he has, the solution is found in him. And this is the second problem. What do you seek? It is sad that at times we don't even know what we are seeking. "I was looking for your house." It is good that, no, they said to Christ. If it would have been a false prophet, he would have taken and he would have shown his own house, right? So we don't know what we are seeking, what we are supposed to seek first. The third point is wrong things. Second one is what is first. And the third one is seeking for the right thing in the wrong place. That's the most terrible one, right? The first question that was asked by Christ in the discipleship is, "What do you seek?" to these men, right? And towards the end, Jesus Christ has another question to the discipleship, but this time it is not men, but it is women. "Why do you seek?" That is Luke chapter 24, verse 5, right? Probably men are not clear with what they are seeking, and women are not knowing the place in which they have to seek. Probably they are looking for the right things in the wrong place. I'm just making a joke, right? This supermarket is like that, right? So you go and you, yesterday I was very clear. Either you go or I will go. I know what I have to buy. Three items, that's it, come on. You end up buying at least one item which you don't want, right? That is the style of supermarket. So you are looking for the right things in the wrong place, and you pick up the wrong thing and then come out. That is, so Jesus Christ asked in the garden, the angel asked, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Right? So we are not the one who is searching for the living among the dead. So it is very clear in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. So we seek his kingdom first. What is his kingdom? We are his kingdom. The kingdom of God is made up of his people. Colossians 1:13. And it says that we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. And we are his righteousness, says 2 Corinthians 5. He who knew no sin, he was made sin for us so that we might become righteousness of God in him. So Jesus is saying, seek first kingdom of God, his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, what are these things? The food, shelter, clothing, they are all providential plan of God. It is very, very, God knows that you need these things and he will give it to you. And it will be great when we know that what we have is of God, such a peace that we can have. And if what we have is not of God, then it is really terrible, right? I like Genesis chapter 14. Abraham knew what he had is of God. He sought the kingdom of God first. When the king came and presented a different proposal, and he said, I'm sorry, I know what I need to have is from God, lest you will tell me that you made me rich. That's very clear. When we seek the kingdom of God first, we will definitely know what we have is of God. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. I would like to identify three groups that were really seeking. But only one group was sought by Christ. And that is Matthew chapter 14. Let's turn there. The first person is Herod the Tetrarch, right? We are not supposed to seek Herod the Tetrarch. I like the title that Apostle Matthew gives to him. He doesn't call him king, right? He's the Tetrarch, which means that he is... The Greek word says the fourth ruler. He is under the authority. Of course, some places in Matthew 2 and all, the King Herod, he was the one who was craving for kingship. And he was not given that. He was a descendant of Esau who was ruling over Jacob. I spent one full day studying about this particular man and found nothing good about him. Jesus calls him fox, right? He is a most terrible guy to hang around with. And he was seeking for Christ. And the account is mentioned in Luke chapter 23 verse 8. Let's read the first few verses. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the news about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And that is why miraculous powers are at work in him." And then verse 3 to 12, Matthew gives the character of the Herod. And verse 13 says, Jesus withdrew. And if you read in conjunction with all the other gospels as to like what is really going on in the mind of Herod, after hearing the news of Christ, he was really seeking for Christ. Let's look at Luke 20, I think it is 23 verse 8 in the study, I remember that was Luke 23 verse 8. I will quickly read that verse for you. 23 verse, now when Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus and he wanted to see him for a long time, he was really mad about seeing Christ. But Christ never met him apart from the time when Pilate sent Jesus to Herod. And the most beautiful point is that Christ never spoke a word to him. Sometimes it's really amazing that God has no word for a man. Watch out for the leaven of Herod. Mark says, but Matthew says, watch out for the leaven of Sadducees. He was an obstinate, unbelieving character. And if you notice that in Luke chapter 13 verse 31, the Pharisees come to Jesus Christ and Herod is seeking to kill you. Could you please run away from this place? You know what Jesus says? I will give him 3 days. He can't even lift his finger against me. Today, tomorrow and day after. He can't do one bit with me. Go and tell that fox. So he was seeking to kill Christ. And he is, what kind of a leaven is that? The leaven of unbelief. And he had John the Baptist. And he was seeking, ever since he heard the news and when he saw Jesus, he was very glad. And he mocked at him, made a sport of him, and all these things Christ spoke no word to Herod. So he had John the Baptist, and he heard John the Baptist very gladly. He was afraid of John the Baptist. In Mark 6 verse 20, he knew that John the Baptist was holy and righteous. And he was perplexed when he heard the message. Probably John the Baptist brought in a message, surely, to make a decision concerning his life. And he was probably tossing to and fro. He was confused and in his life. And he did not desire to kill John the Baptist. When Herodias' daughter asked for the head of John the Baptist, he was pained. He was grieved. But he never made a decision. All the time he was very glad hearing John the Baptist. He never made a decision. And it says, look at the character is beautifully given. I don't want to go into that. But look in verse 6. But when Herod's birthday came, and Matthew writes in some of the gospel writers, he says, when the strategic day of the devil really came. And he was put to test. The daughter of Herodias in verse 6, Matthew 14, danced before them and pleased Herod, and so much that he promised with an oath to give her. Look at the singular oath. He made a New Year resolution. Whatever you ask, even to the half of my kingdom, I will give you. Having prompted by her mother, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist, verse 8. Although he was grieved, the king commanded it to be given because of his, is it a singular or plural? Oaths. Which means that he probably took one sip. I will give you half of the kingdom. Another sip. I will give you half of the kingdom. Another sip. That is the meaning of the plural. He said the same thing again and again. We better watch out what kind of a vote that we make for the New Year resolution concerning a man of God, concerning a spirit-filled ministry. You go home and in the tent you keep saying the thing again and again. It is not vote. It becomes oaths. And he was grieved, pain, and he gave the head of John the Baptist. And then he hears about Jesus and he says, hey, this is John the Baptist who became alive. And Jesus says in that story, right? Even if a dead man becomes alive, he says, if I send the Lazarus back, your brothers are not going to believe. That kind of a person he is. Oh, as if he's John the Baptist alive. Oh, the dead man became alive. I want to believe in him. No, let him hear the prophets. Christ said in the story, Abraham said to the rich man, he was not believing in Christ. That is the leaven of Sadducees. Matthew brings it as Sadducees and Mark says it as Herod. The spirit of unbelief, hearing again and again. How many chances? Christ has no word for this man who was seeking after Christ with the wrong motive. The second group that was seeking is, first group is one man, that is Herod. Matthew 14, 1 to 12. The second group that we're seeking is Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21. And the third group that we're seeking is verses 22 to 36. That makes up the entire chapter, three seeking. And Christ has no word for Herod, and his seeking was not answered. You know, sometimes Jesus says in John chapter 7, if you seek me, you will not find me. And then again down the verses, it says, come, all who are thirsty. What is he talking about? He's saying to the Jews, you guys are seeking, but you will never find me. And Jesus are like, what is he saying? Is he going to, no. I know your heart. And then down the few verses, I think I noted that in John 7 verse 34, 7 verse 37, come, all who are thirsty. Now God knows the heart of these people. The second group that we're seeking is, they were seeking for eating and drinking. You know the story behind it, John chapter 6. The kingdom of God is not made up of eating and drinking. Romans 14, 17. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. These guys transliterated the kingdom of God to eating and drinking. Oh, if you follow Christ, if you seek him, and you will get nice little kebabs and everything, a settled life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, no, you guys are seeking in John 6:26. Not because you ate loaves and you are seeking after me. The second group that were seeking was never met by Christ. You know what he gave him? The first one, he never gave a word. The second one, he gave the cross. Discipleship. The first time, like, you know, the other day we were riding to Jayanagar, Agilesh, Vijay and myself. We were talking about the entire communion. We wanted to reflect on communion, different aspects of it. Why, what, everything. From the beginning, what does the New Testament talk about? So we had a nice little conversation. And Nalini said this point in John chapter 6, the communion is associated with the discipleship. And Jesus introduces the communion with the discipleship, unless you eat. And the disciples were stumbled by the statement. And they withdrew from. And if you notice in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, Christ withdrew. Of course, he puts it as hearing the news of John. But if you literally go by the other Gospels, Herod, who was seeking, and Christ never showed his face to him. Similarly, these guys who were asking for bread and they sought Christ, and they took boat and spent a lot of money, and Christ never, he withdrew himself from these people. And who were the third one that were seeking? The disciples. You know what? They were really seeking. First time I, all the time I had something to say bad about the disciples when it comes to the storm. First time, like, we guys are good guys. Forget about, you know, Christ telling us you little faith and everything. Like, we are really great people. We don't have faith, and at times we fail and we live in unbelief, but we are seeking the kingdom of God. It's okay with Christ. Christ has some harsh things to say to us, and it is for our correction in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. And in verse 22, immediately he made the disciples to get into the boat. And he brought in a distinction between the crowd and the disciples in verse 22. You know why? Because in John 6 verse 15, the story goes like this. Because Christ fed, and the crowd were forcing him to be the king. Oh, they were seeking for a king. They were not seeking for a kingdom. Christ knew the intention of the hearts of these people is basically they were seeking, they were wanting a king. Oh, give us the king. Like the Old Testament guys, no? They rejected Samuel. They rejected God Almighty. So Christ knew the intention of the heart of these people is basically, you know, they wanted a king who can give everything to them. And Christ never showed. And he brings in a distinction lest the disciples get corrupted by this kind of a leaven. And he says, come on, you, we are on a mission, as Pastor Shala says. We are on, get in the car. Go in the boat, and we have to go to the other side. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. He tells them that we have to go the other side. You go. And after he had sent the crowds away, he went upon a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat, in verse 24, was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves. For the wind was contrary. Okay, put yourself in that place. What would you do? you are one of the 12. Of course, we are not exactly the apostles. We are great people following. We really have to be edified at times, like we are believers, right? So we are not. I was in this time when I went home, many of my friends seeking, the entire life is bundled up with food, clothing, shelter, and they bring in the name of God. Psalm 10 verse 4, they are not seeking God. In all their thoughts, there is no God. So we are on the boat, okay? So the wind is contrary. What would we do? What would I do? I will better go back. I'll say, Peter, it's not going to work out. Don't you know that? No, we have been fishermen for quite some time. The wind is contrary. Better turn the boat back. We'll get back to the place. And if Christ asks, we will tell them that, no, so the wind was really contrary. That, is it a logical conclusion? Yes, right? The wind is contrary. Why don't you turn our boats back? You know what the disciples said? They never quit. I like that. Let's turn to Mark chapter 6. I'll show you. Verse 48. The same story. Putting together all the Gospels. It really, you know, brings things alive. Seeing when it was evening, verse 47, Mark chapter 6. The boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining, what were they doing? At the oars. You know what is the word straining meaning? That word in the Greek is used when the black stone is rubbed on the gold. You are keep rubbing it to an extent that, like, you know, where the streaks come out to test. And when it is off, the fishermen, they are actually straining at the rowing where the nerves are coming out. They never made a decision to go back, and they were seeking the kingdom. Why? Christ said, let's go to the other side. There is no rebuke to the disciples. Of course, Peter was rebuked for the unbelief or little faith. And their hearts were hardened, Mark says. But nevertheless, they never quit. I think that is the greatest point. It could be 2017, so we are like, the nerves are coming. 2018, the nerves are coming. Why? Christ said, let's go to the other side, seeking the kingdom of God. And he came, and they were not able to identify. Probably they were, who is that? It's a ghost. No, it is I. Don't be afraid. If you are really seeking the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. I will be there. If you seek me, you will find me. You are not like the one Herod, unbelieving. You are not like the one, these guys who is coming after the food. You guys are really great. At the same time, you guys are foolish. But I like you guys. Greater grace. You are seeking the kingdom of God first. You are actually straining at the oars, in the rowing. You never decided to quit, Pastor Stephen says, right? Don't quit. You're going. If I had been there, I would have definitely told Peter, it's not working out, let's get back. They were seeing them straining at the oars. Probably Christ was pleased. We are straining at the oars. 2017, 18, 19, we are going. God has called us for a mission, right? And Christ says, I am here. And then Peter goes one step extra. That is like amazing. And did you notice that in verse, I noted down three verses. 14 verse 13, Christ withdrew. And there is another place when in John's gospel brings, when these people are probably, you know, pressurizing Christ for food, Christ withdrew. But I like the verse in Matthew chapter 14. At the fourth watch of the night, he came. He came. He came to the disciples. Christ will never leave us like this, as we are straining at the oars, and he isn't there for us. We don't seek for the wrong things. And at times we may not know what we are seeking, which one to seek first. But God is very, very faithful in this ministry to speak in season and out of season, to tell us, like, get back. This is the first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And at times we are actually doing it. We are straining, we are rowing, and muscles are coming out by faith. Hey, he said, let's go to the other side. Come on, put one more time. And Christ is there. And he is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for really saving us, Lord. That salvation is the thought that really edifies us. Teach us how to personally encourage us. As we heard from Pastor, that you told us, I want you to be with me where I am. And it's like saying, let's go to the other side. We could be straining at the oars, but you have willed some things for our lives which will never change. Bless this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.